So the epistle for the second Sunday after Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. Dearly beloved, Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile, when he suffered he threatened not, but delivered himself to him that judged him unjustly, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we being dead to sins should live to justice, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but you are now converted to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 10. At that time Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. The hireling, and he that is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth and scattereth the sheep, and the hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and hath no care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. As the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Please be seated. I am the good shepherd, in the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Usually on this Sunday, it gives the opportunity to preach about vocations. Something to consider, as I mentioned, the Society has the second collection to support vocations. This is a means for us to try to help in those pursuing vocations. I think it's also fitting, the upper school boys, we had the opportunity that most were able to attend and go to the monastery and visit the Benedictine Monastery down in Silver City, New Mexico. And Father Matthew, who is visiting from France, he's an American, but he's visiting from France. He gave them a conference, which I thought was very, very good for them to hear, because he talked about the big decision that we will have. He even mentioned how, regardless of how old we are, I mean, obviously for them, whether they're in 7th grade or whether they're in 12th grade their last year. He said, we all come to have to make a big decision in life. And we can consider the big decision, yes, what we want to do with our life. But he said, more importantly than that, it comes to the point of, do we want to be united with God? And then from there, yes, then you can kind of decide and see what your vocation will be. But that is first and foremost what is important for all of us. And so it's something that we must try to consider and think about. I mean, for our young adults, I mean, that's why next month, we'll have the Day of Recollection to try to help them to also to consider vocations, their vocation in life. Because the world is so appealing. The world draws people away from Almighty God. And I think because of that, it calls them, and because it has, in a sense, just considered for some, so much that is offered, that is why we lose so many toward the world. We lose so many toward even leaving the faith. And so that's where then the seed of the faith that is given, it has to go upon good ground. We just have to think back to the parable that our Lord gives, the four grounds. Only one of them produces good fruit. And I think that's where then, obviously, the schools are so important. Your family life is so important. But then also these trips, yes, to give them that opportunity. The opportunity to see the religious life, to spend time with the religious. As I mentioned, the boys, we just came back from the monastery. Some of the girls went to Browerville to visit the Society Sisters. That they spend this time with the religious in order to try to see that life. For it to be open to them to at least to consider. Because that's what I fear, that as they get older, they don't even consider that vocation. that the call of the world is so strong that they don't even bother to even consider a religious life, and they just consider, okay, what do I want to do with my life after I get out of school? Whether continue my education, whether get married. That they don't even take the time to think and to pray. I mean, that's why we have the recollections to give us that opportunity. Because the world is so busy for us, our lives are so busy, that the fear is that we don't even consider these important decisions that we have to make. That we get caught up with the world around us and what's going on, that we lose that sight of what is important in our lives. And so, yes, the effort that we make in making these trips, or your families, and sending them on these trips, it is with the hope and the goal in mind that some will consider that at least. Whether it's their vocation or not, that's up to Almighty God. But then it's important for them to at least have that as an opportunity. And that's why I say that also the foundation that you form at your home, in your home, is also where vocations will stem from. Because if there's not that good ground at home, vocations won't come. Because yes, the seeds of the faith will be offered to them, but it will just be like those three other grounds. Choked up by the cares of the world, on rocky ground so it can't really take root, or then just by the wayside, where the birds of the air come and pick it out. And so that's why when Father Matthew was giving on the conference and explaining to them, he gave many stories to try to enhance that idea to them. But he said it comes up to you whether you make that choice or not. Whether you want that union with Almighty God or not. And so that's where then we try to form the children properly. I mean, that is why when they're given their religion classes, their faith, it is meant for, yes, for it to take root. But that they have to try to understand to live that faith. And that is where we must try to continue to try to work and to pray and to sacrifice for that. As I say, you parents sacrifice a lot in order to send them to a Catholic school. I mean, the sacrifices will pay off if we continue in that work with the children, with the young adults. And that's why this Sunday is so fitting when we think about our Lord and being the Good Shepherd, of how willing he is to go after the one sheep that is lost, that he's willing to suffer all for that one sheep, for that one soul. And it illustrates, it shows to us the importance of a soul. And so that is why then, yes, we pray for vocations, we sacrifice for vocations, we take up collections to try to help those that are trying to pursue vocations. But I think also we have to try to consider and see, why is there a lack of vocations? Why do so many children, when they exit out of school, they don't even consider that? I mean, they don't even take the time to maybe visit a convent or a monastery or the seminary. I mean, even just to write a religious community to consider and to see, do I have this vocation? Do I have a vocation? Because it is a calling from God, yes. God calls a soul. But sometimes the children don't listen to that calling. Why is that? It's a mystery. And that's why it's so good for them to at least to see and to consider this religious life and have them kind of live the life with the religious. And those religious communities have been very generous with us, the Society Sisters, the Franciscans also. I haven't been there myself, but they've been very generous with their time. And then the monastery, obviously, they go on hikes with the boys, conferences, they work with them. I mean, that exposure that they have to the religious life at their young ages, God willing, will produce fruit. And it's not that we're trying to push them toward the religious life, but at least for them to be exposed to it, to see what it is. What does it contain? Because I think it's more important than just you can read about the different religious communities, but actually visiting them, actually seeing them, being with them, God willing, will also produce these vocations. I mean, that is why it's so important for them to have that opportunity for that. But I mean, we always pray for more vocations. And even in a sense, we lament the fact that there are not more priests or more religious. And so, with that, we need to try to do something about that. Praying and sacrificing, yes. Giving them the opportunity, yes. But also making sure that our homes are formed in a way that it would foster vocations. But we have all the things of the world that distract them from that. Vocations will not come from that. And the television, movies, music of the world, I mean, even the internet itself. I mean, that's where we have to try to consider and see what are our children looking at or listening to or watching? What are they doing? And we have to be careful of saying, well, we just want them to be normal with the world. Because certainly it's not going to produce vocations if you look at what is considered normal with the world. And that is why you must try to consider and see, what are you permitting your children? Because that is something that you will have to answer on Judgment Day 4. I mean, also to consider if because of your family life that it did squash vocations. That God was trying to call one of your children, but because of your family life, it wasn't possible. I mean, that's something that obviously the parents will have to answer for. And so it's something that we must try to consider. As I say, we pray for vocations, and we see the lack of vocations out in the world. And yes, in some aspects, it's because we can say people are unwilling to sacrifice the life of the world. But why is that? Why are they unwilling to sacrifice? Well, if they have a comfortable life in terms of all the things of the world at their fingertips, well, no wonder. And so that is why then we try to at least give them these opportunities to inspire them toward at least considering it. When you think about the Good Shepherd, you think about our Lord giving up his life for all of our souls to be saved, of sacrificing so much for all of us. And so therefore, the little that we can try to do to make up for that, of how much that he gave for us. I mean, yes, then we can see of sacrificing your life for God. And so it's something for us to consider, something for us to continue to pray about, but then also to reflect and to try to see our own families. In trying to see, do we have that necessary ground at home? Or do we have the other three grounds, or at least one of the other grounds? And that's something for all of us to try to consider at this time. Why the lack of vocations? Or why in our own family is there a lack of vocations? Have our children even considered a vocation? And granted, it may not be their vocation. But have they even considered it? Has it been encouraged? Has it been discussed? Have you given them the opportunities for that? Because as I say, a lot of times children, they just graduate and they move on with their lives. College or thinking about getting married at some point or just getting a job. But there's not even the consideration for the religious life. And granted, it can be the temptation. It's like, oh, well, I'm not holy enough or I'm not this or I'm not that. So they don't even consider it. But we have to remember that with all vocations, it's a means of sanctification. Certainly, we realize that as religious, we have a long way to go to become holy. And so it's a means for us to achieve that goal. And that's for every vocation in our lives. And so these are the things that we must try to consider. These are the things that we must try to apply to our own families. And yes, to pray for vocations, to try to ask God for that. The blessings that it is to a family. And so in the Collect of the Mass, there's some very beautiful sentiments that is given to us by Holy Mother of the Church. It says, O God, who by the humility of thy Son didst lift up a fallen world, grant unending happiness to thy faithful, that those whom thou hast snatched from the perils of endless death, thou mayest come to rejoice in everlasting joys. And so shows to us that through the humility of our Lord dying on the cross, the ignominious death of the cross, he was able to snatch ones away from death, eternal death. Snatch them away from that to be able to give them everlasting life. And so that is truly what we just celebrated with our Lord's passion and death, but then his resurrection. And so from that, we see how much the Good Shepherd loves our souls, that he's willing to lay down his life for us. And so for us, the very least that we can try to do is to consider of giving back our life to Almighty God. Whether it is in the religious life or whether it is the married state or even the single state, of trying to give that back to God. Because I say that's what Father Matthew had given them the understanding that the big decision you make is whether you're united to God or not. And that union is, obviously, through sanctifying grace. So yes, let us take this opportunity to pray for vocations. For ones that are willing to sacrifice their life for God. For the ones that are trying a vocation right now. And for those that are already in their vocation, that they stay faithful to that. So that through that we will have more souls that are trying to sanctify their soul in giving their life to God. The ultimate sacrifice that they can give to God to try to repay for what Almighty God did for us. The Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.